Good morning, y'all.
Well, I'm riding along.
Everybody's getting up.
Singing the same old cowboy.
Getting ready for the big Territory Cup Challenge later today. I don't know. You can never call that game. I do believe Vegas has the Wildcats winning it by a touchdown. But they're playing in Frank Cush Stadium right here in Tempe, so you never know. Good morning, y'all. Thank you for getting up this morning and tuning in to Rosie on the House. We got a show that is absolutely totally crammed for you today, all the way up until 11 o'clock this morning, so stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Well, I made some comments last week about traveling to Dallas. And, you know,
you get a little feedback?
I got a little feedback, and, you know, mostly from Texans.
Surprise, surprise.
Who now live here in Arizona.
What'd they say?
They were all in complete support of me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to get some pushback.
No, none of I didn't have one person come to the defense of Dallas. I had to spend a week there, and it was the most boring city I've ever been to in my life.
You're always looking for interesting things to do. So
I got one email from a Texan said, I'm born and bred Texan, three generations. I've never met one person from Dallas I like. I thought, okay.
Well, I guess there's no reason to go back.
Okay. So, listen, if you want to defend Dallas, if you know anything good about Dallas, you can give us a ring, 1-888-767-4348, or any one of the other myriad of topics we're going to cover here at 7 o'clock. I tell you what, after I went to Dallas, the week after that, I had to go to Providence, Rhode Island. And Jennifer inquired, is that a trip I can come on? I said, yeah, you can come, babe, but Providence, Rhode Island, really, it's, you know, it's a kind of, I'd been there once before, and they'd put me up in a motel next to the port. It was kind of an industrial, ugly little city, and I thought, you know, we'll be going better places than this. Well, this time, they put me right downtown, and boy, we missed a good trip together.
Oh, shoot.
This was a cool little town. Rhode Island, the smallest state in the Union. It was founded.
I'm pretty sure Maricopa County is like twice the size of this little puny thing.
I believe it is. But I tell you what, the more I learned about Rhode Island, the more I like. It was founded in 1636 by Roger Williams, who had been forced to move there out of Boston, Massachusetts, by the Puritans because of religious persecution. They didn't agree with his theology. They literally put him in a ship and set him to sail and said, "We don't want you here."
Nothing new about that.
Nothing new about that. Rhode Island was the first colony to prohibit the importation of slaves. Rhode Island was, at the start of the Revolutionary War, among the first of the colonists to take action against the British rule by attacking British ships. Rhode Island was the first colony to renounce allegiance to Great Britain and declare its independence. So there's a lot of little things about Rhode Island that are kind of cool. They were the last colony to sign off on the Constitution because they insisted that you would have to have the Bill of Rights as a part of the deal. So kind of a neat little...
Small but attitude.
Yeah, got an attitude right there. They sure do. And I tell you what, the little town of Providence, once you get into town, we stayed at the Courtyard Marriott right there on the Providence River. And their state house. You know, I'll tell you what. When you travel the country and you look at the state houses, I think Arizona could have done better. I mean, when you go to Texas, when you go to Rhode Island, these buildings are big and giant and gorgeous. I feel like ours is a little understated, but I don't know that we're going to be able to do anything about that now.
Now, you're talking about where the governor lives or like our Capitol building?
The Capitol building.
The one with the copper dome,
yeah,
and the statue? You think that's so?
Yeah, a little understated, I think.
Oh, okay.
When you take a look at what was done in some of these other states.
Well, compared to everything else around it, though, it's pretty nice for here.
I tell you one thing I'd like to do. We've got a special guest here in studio this morning.
Are you offering to do some renovation work on it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No, that'd be Don Ryden's job.
All right.
The hard thing about traveling this time of year is keeping my weight off. And I don't have as bad a time just given the holiday season because I'm home, I'm in a regular routine, I can get out, I can get an exercise program in. But when I travel, it's like a pound a day. Just because most of the traveling I do revolves around sitting on your butt for like 14 hours a day, which I hate. But we brought in fitness specialist Katie Stumbo this morning to talk to us a little bit about up here with the holiday, with the official eating season about to start. What are the tricks of the trade and the tips on not being disappointed January 1st, saying, oh my goodness, how did this happen? Katie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. We've had you on a couple times before, and you've always brought us some great information about staying in shape, how to get in shape for the Pat Tillman run. That was great information. But how about getting ready, getting fit for the eating holiday season?
Well, first I'd like to say that the most important thing is to set realistic expectations.
Okay.
You have 10 months out of the year to lose weight and achieve your fitness goals. If you come into this week thinking, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by the new year, you are setting yourself up for failure, disappointment, and depression. Let's just put it out there. People get depressed when they don't hit their goals. So you set a goal right now to lose 10 pounds by Christmas, you're not going to be in a happy place.
Not
and the
a
holidays
happy place.
Are not going to be fun for you at all. This is the time of year you say, I'm going to maintain my weight until January 1st.
I can do that.
I don't know. How do you do that?
Okay. So people are creatures of habit. So whatever your roadblock was last year, it's probably going to be your roadblock this year.
Pecan pie.
So why don't you tell me what your roadblock was last year?
Eggnog.
Oh, eggnog is big for him.
Pecan pie.
I don't tell him it comes out in October.
And then, yeah, right. And then Jennifer's and Baby K's butter-bathed seasoned pecans.
Oh, shoot. Those are good.
Oh, I can eat those like, you know, have handfuls at a time all day long.
And you do.
And I do.
And for me, I always think I'm going to do different this year and be ready for Christmas, like start getting ready before, and I don't. So I always end up in this mad rush, so I don't have time to exercise.
Okay. So with both of those, we'll talk about the eating a little, the food first, but we're in this pattern as a society of an all or nothing attitude. And with our eating in particular, it's very evident. So you have Thanksgiving, you have this big meal, and you think, oh, shoot, I busted my diet. So the next morning, you get up and you have the rest of pecan pie with your coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what?
You've
already busted it.
Well, and there's no better time to eat pecan pie than with a nice, dark, black coffee. It's breakfast. It's the breakfast of champions.
Is it?
Oh,
is it, though?
Man. Oh, I love it for breakfast.
So what you want to do, instead of having the pecan pie for breakfast, is limit your days that you're eating. Limit these extra things. Limit it to Thanksgiving Day. Limit it to the holiday party. Limit it to Christmas Day. You're not going to put on 15 pounds in 3 days, especially when they're spread out that way. It's when you take Thanksgiving weekend and you extend it
for a week and a half. There you go.
That's where the issue is. So just scaling back a little bit, I have a client, and the first holiday season I spent working with her, I got so mad at her.
Uh-oh.
She put on 15 pounds in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Woo! I was mad. So we started in July coming up with a game plan for that coming
holiday. Get ready early.
I mean, January or July?
No, July.
July.
Oh,
okay.
July. We started that following July. We started talking about she was already feeling anxiety. She was already feeling fear about the holidays because of the weight gain she knew she was going to experience. And there's just no reason to put yourself in that kind of anxiety. Just eat less.
You know, Romy had a guest on a couple months ago, and he's the sustainable Santa. And he had four little tips, and I lost 10 pounds. But it applies every day except for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm just going to use those weekends as my holidays. I'm just going to move that. So just as long as you have those days that you have one or two days you cheat, not every day.
And you just factor them in. Like this particular client, she likes to have her two squares of nice chocolate every night. Okay, fine. But coming into the holidays, don't have it around because that's going to add insult to injury. You're going to have those two pieces of chocolate every night, which is only about 150 calories, which is fine when you're working out hard and you're eating your salads and you're eating your veggies. But when you're also going to holiday parties and having more wine than you're used to, or more cake than you're used to, or you're like, oh, I'm just going to try that cookie. Oh, that one looks good too. I'm going to try that one. So we just started taking little things away from her daily diet so that she could really enjoy those. And we hit January 1st the exact same weight we went in to the holiday season.
And I found, just personally, that if I just fast one day a week.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Just live on water one day a week. And in particular during the holiday season, it just keeps your stomach from getting all stretched out.
It keeps it from getting all stretched out. It gives your intestines, your insides, a little bit break. And it allows your body to detox. We're having a lot of things we're not used to. Sugar's highly inflammatory. Alcohol is highly inflammatory. Coffee's highly inflammatory. We're having all these extra things that we don't have on a weekly or daily basis the rest of the year, flooding our system, causing inflammation, and that can make you sick as well.
Well, one of the greatest tips you ever gave me was that your stomach is only as big as your palm. And if you're eating more than can fit in your palm, you're eating more than you probably should. And I tell you what, if I just stick with that and fasting once a week, I can maintain pretty easy. Now we got to figure out how I can lose the next 10 pounds. You've got a workout we can do in street clothes in 20 minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back and talk about that street clothes workout.